now. Yeah.
I was going to talk about
that. By the way, none of this will probably make like the final cut. I'll probably just cut it out. Probably.
Yeah, at this point, I decided not to cut anything out.
Probably. That's reassuring.
No. I'll probably cut it out.
Just say what you want, and then we'll either leave it in or won't.
I will definitely cut it. Anything anyone wants me to cut out, I will definitely cut it.
If you could cut out every single piece of word I say, that would be fantastic. Just
have it impossible.
It's a disaster.
Unfortunately, I can't like specifically, you know, pick out your voice, you know, because
it's okay.
Should we do an intro?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi everyone. This is the CU show. So you guys want to go, you know?
You didn't even say my name. That's rude.
Do you want us to run?
Is this like a CU show?
Should we do do you want to do a structured thing? Do you want to do like how do you want to do it? Do you want
an outline?
Like an outline or like freestyle it? How do you want to do it?
We can freestyle it. I don't really. I was gonna do like the CU Show X Undisputed Nerds podcast, but you know, hey,
X.
It's okay. X, you know, like X.
Oh God, it's so extreme.
Like
I love
Hunter
it.
Hunter.
XXX.
Oh, Spy Family.
Yes.
Do you see the X?
You can tell. You can tell my obsession.
Yeah, I don't mind. I normally like Zane. You normally do our intro, don't you? So,
yeah.
Take it away.
Zane, you're on the spot and go.
Do it now. Okay. How about the forbidden door is open? Welcome to first of its kind, an episode of the CU Show X Undisputed Nerds podcast. We are all your hosts.
What a legend. What a legend. Who are you, Zane?
Well, as pointed out, I am Zane, aka Zane Tai Cho, one of the hosts of Undisputed Nerds. I guess we just go around the room, or the virtual room, as we're currently doing this.
Yes, okay, I'll go next then. In that case, I am the Gentlemanly Gamer. Hello, everyone in Radio Land. Good evening. Yes, it's a crossover show, Zane. We've gone crazy. What's going on? We're here with the fabulous host of the CU show. Go say hello.
Hi, we're the CU show, and my name is Chewe, one of the hosts,
and I am your overpowered MC Chenna. What?
Wow.
Whoa.
No, she took that for One Punch Man. Don't wow her. She's a rat.
I was going to say, we did not agree to that intro beforehand. This is uncalled for. This is absolutely uncalled for.
I have to rethink my title now.
Like, I know, right? I'm starting to feel...
No, this actually took like proper thought, you know, because I have way too much energy than I know what to do with. So I'm like, you know what? I'm always overpowered, always too much in every single episode. So might as well.
I feel dangerously,
you know, self-title
now.
Myself overpowered, you know? Just go for it.
I haven't got enough energy. That's what it is. I'm too underpowered. how are you guys this week? How is everyone? Has everyone had a good week?
Yeah.
Zane, what have you been doing? I can see the cogs turning in your mind, like there's a devious plots ahead.
Wow. Yeah, sensational week. A lot of anime, a lot of comics, as always. A lot of movies. I saw Ghostbusters, actually.
Which one?
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Oh, the latest
one. Oh, the new one. I haven't seen that, you know.
I haven't seen
that.
Yeah.
It's, okay, in that case, let's skirt around the spoilers. what did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. Like, it wasn't horrendous. Like, I thought it was a decent little film. I enjoyed it.
Didn't we do a review of it on Undisputed Nerds?
We didn't. No, you saw it. I think you may have done a little one because I hadn't seen it.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Well, that put a fart in that jacuzzi then. Sorry about that. That's good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I I've heard very, like, a lot of people were really negative about it, but I actually enjoyed it quite a lot. But I think it was because it was quite camera servicey.
Yeah.
Camera servicey? Sorry. Fan servicey. I just read camera whilst I was looking at the thing. Sorry, my apologies. That is a say what you see situation there. My apologies. Yeah, no.
But in what way, though? Because there's kids in it. What kind of fan service? Like,
oh,
mentions or like throwbacks and stuff like that? Like, referring to like the OG. Is that what you mean?
How do I get into this without it being spoilers?
There is, it's very heavily referenced that this is a continuation from the
original.
80s.
Okay.
Yeah, the Bill Murray.
Did they mention the other one? The all female.
No.
Oh shit! Okay.
Did they make a reference to it? I think they might have made a reference to it, but I don't think they actually like. This was very much like this is the third Ghostbusters.
Oh shit! Yeah.
the other one doesn't exist.
Oh wow. Yeah. Okay. I see what you guys are doing. You're taking out all the women out of this conversation. How dare you?
Well, listen, wow. As me and Zane were producers on Ghostbusters Afterlife, we agree. It was just, it's just what needed to happen, Jenna. That's what needed to happen. It's just the way it works. I'm sorry. But, you know. But now we know, now we have you guys for this crossover. We can, you know, we can put it back in, obviously, as producers of Ghostbusters Afterlife. So let's do it. It's the ultimate crossover.
Yeah, so this episode obviously is going to be a Moon Knight review, but before we get to that, you guys want to do your subsection, right?
I think we were gonna do both, weren't we? We were gonna have a little bit of the old, were we gonna do a bit of the old Nicolas Cage situation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess for first time listeners as well, yes. In case you haven't heard this, we do a thing on Undisputed Nerds where Gigi. will regale some sort of weird fact about Nicolas Cage, because he's a treasure. He's a national treasure. Absolutely.
I knew you were going there with it. Yeah, friend of the show, Nicolas Cage, listens to us every week. Obviously, a massive mega fan of Undisputed Nerds. Yeah, we've got several things on our show. We have a weird love of certain actors. We have a scale of acting talent, as per Richard E. Grant, the fantastic actor Richard E. Grant, who's most well known for his appearance probably in With Nell and I, but also Loki, because he was he's old Loki. Nicolas Cage, there's just a bizarre fascination with him and his life, and so we have a recurring segment called What's All the Rage with Nicolas Cage, where we do a deep dive into some crazy facts from Mr. Nicolas Cage when he's not making movies, appearing in them as himself. So, we've been through quite a few of them. I don't know whether you want to do some of his greatest hits or you want a new one. Zane, what do you think?
Let's let the ladies decide.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Just whatever you guys decide is absolutely fine with us. Well, me.
All right. Okay, all right. All right. So this man, we all know his incredible acting talent that he's had in, you know, such films as, the recreation of The Wicker Man, obviously, one of his most famous roles ever. But his life is just as weird as his acting career. So I'll go through some of the strangest ones that he's done. So I'll give you some of the headlines and you guys can react to these have been ones that have recurred on our show over the last few months. So this is apparently a true story. He once woke up in his bed to find a stranger eating a fudgesicle at the foot of his bed. In recounting what he called a horrifying experience, Cage told reporters in 2011, "It was 2 a.m. I was living in Orange County at the time and I was asleep with my wife. My 2-year-old at the time was in another room. I opened my eyes and there was a naked man wearing my leather jacket eating a fudgesicle in the front of my bed."
What?
Cage decided to talk. Better. It gets better. Cage then talked to the man, asked him to leave, and the police arrived soon after. So he had a full discussion with this guy whilst he was naked, tackle out in his leather jacket, eating a fudgesicle. Whilst Cage did not press charges, he apparently said he never stayed in the house again.
No, I can imagine. Oh my god, I'm a star for life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, I would love to know what the conversation he had with the guy was, you know, following how did you get in here?
Why did naked to begin with? Like,
well, I mean, that's an obvious question that I probably should have asked, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Did he go to get the fudgesicle, or did he get the fudgesicle from downstairs? I mean,
that's a good question.
Did he get there naked? Did he then undress while he was there watching them in bed? I mean,
possibly that's what he got arrested for, was actually stealing the fudgesicle in the first place. That could be what the crime was. Unbelievable. This was an amazing one, Zane. We covered this on the show as well. He owns a pyramid-shaped tomb in New Orleans. I'm just going to let that sit there for a while.
Mm.
Not random at all. Is that region?
Cage's tomb is... Cage's tomb is located in St. Louis Cemetery in New Orleans, French Quarter, ready for him to be placed inside when the time comes.
He wants to be buried like a pharaoh or something like that.
I wish you could see the stock image that comes with this. It's when you think about, we're talking about Moon Knight and stuff this week, when you think about famous pyramids and impressive tombs, this thing ain't impressive at all. It's not clear what Cage paid for the 9-foot-high pyramid tomb when he purchased it in 2010. So there you go. Think about that. 9 feet. One report claims he paid $40,000 for it.
Oh my god.
But the inscription on the front reads Omnia ab uno, which is Latin for everything from one.
I think the funny thing as well is it's got the only way to describe it, it's got like a flap, like a pizza hut flap. Yeah. So you just slide the body in.
Literally pull it out like a lovely, like a little oven shelf. It's great. And you just slot him in, and then 20 minutes later, he comes out golden brown. It's perfect. It's great.
He comes out Moon Knight.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god, I can see this. Oh my god. Yeah.
It's great, isn't it? See?
Oh my god, people are kissing it? Oh, for fuck's sake.
We all want to kiss Nicolas Cage's tomb. It's I think that's what I call it. the last one that I'll give you just free of charge on the show. He spent almost $300,000 on a dinosaur skull. Cage purchased the skull from a Tyrannosaurus bataar for $276,000 in 2007. Sorry, a fossil that was later determined to be stolen. The bataar who sold it to him was better known as the Tyrannosaurus Rex. It had a more narrow and domed skull than its fellow dinosaurs. Fossils from this particular thing have been found in Central Asia and indicate the creature lived blah, 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 blah. Unfortunately, Nicolas Cage had to give the dinosaur skull back after the government of Mongolia filed a claim to take it back in 2014. Cage willingly gave up the skull to the authorities. So basically, he spent $300,000 on a dinosaur skull that he then gave up and had to lose all his money. Why he bought a dinosaur skull in the first place, I don't know. Maybe it was to go on the front of the tomb. Who knows?
I mean, that's an example of the British Museum.
Exactly.
They can return his dinosaur head. They can return all their artifacts.
Exactly. But I wonder what other artifact. I mean, the guy is a mystery wrapped in enigma, though. I will say that.
Yeah.
But those are just some of the weird facts that we've covered about Nicolas Cage on the show.
I think my favorite of all is you did have a festival of films just dedicated to him. A whole festival.
It's not just that there's a festival of films dedicated to him. He turned up to it. He went to his own festival. Yeah.
That is so gangster. I love that.
Yeah.
That's why you stan a guy like that. Absolutely.
I was just going to say, it is. Me and Zane have had the conversation before about it. It's good at least to have a celebrity who's quite weird, and it doesn't go over into that, oh, that's a shame, he's done something bad. Oh, yeah. Dear. Oh, can't look at him in that kind of like a, oh, that's quirky, nice job. It's like, oh no. Oh, we used to like him, and then he did that. Oh, dear.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's nice that Nicolas Cage is still out there being clean weird. There you go.
Yeah.
I like that. I definitely like that.
Yeah. So there you go, guys.
Should we do our little bit of our subsection, or should we just go straight to
it? I haven't read any Reddit this week.
No, that's okay. I've got some prepared.
Look at you.
So I am just going to share my screen.
Is this your asshole segment?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Do you want to give us a rundown of what it is? Because I've been strapping myself in for this all week. I'm excited.
Okay. I guess I'll read it out rather than share my whole screen. Or do you guys actually want to read it yourselves?
I'm happy with whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is so many screens.
There we go.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Okay. So for those who don't know, we, the Singing Show, have a section of sorts where we do an Am I the Arsehole section, and we judge them. We just judge these random people that we don't know who put their problems on the internet for us to consume. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
This is what I've been waiting for. I bought a judge robe and everything. I'm getting on as we speak.
Have you got your gavel?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So I have four different options. Am I the asshole for not wanting my husband to teach our future baby Spanish?
Wow.
Am I the asshole? I refuse to let my pregnant wife use my credit card. Am I the arsehole for threatening to pour wine on someone's dress? And am I the arsehole for refusing to help out my ex with his son? Which one would you like?
Jesus Christ. Okay.
You know.
I mean, we can run through. I don't know about you, Zane. I wouldn't mind going through all of them, to be honest with you. This is this is interesting.
I mean, they get spicier as they go along, don't they?
It's like, wow, that escalated quick. Jesus.
Yeah. Teach an unborn baby Spanish to...
Well, I don't think it's I don't think you can teach the unborn baby Spanish, Zane. I don't think that's not going to work.
I mean, it's a future baby. Future unborn.
You're teaching in the womb.
No, just like put some headphones and just, you know, put on Duolingo.
That is a definition of a mega baby, that is. If it can learn Spanish in the womb, I'm impressed.
I mean, they do say that babies can hear from like 30 something weeks or whatever.
let's break this one down. So
okay,
so
am I the asshole for not wanting my husband to teach our future baby Spanish? Does someone else want to read it, or should I?
Up to you, mate.
I think you should read it since you can see it all.
Okay, so I'm in a bit of a dilemma here. I'm currently 37 weeks pregnant, so we are getting ready to receive our girl. The problem is my husband has recently told me he wants to teach her Spanish too. The thing is, he isn't even Spanish. He was born here but lived in Spain since he was four. Wait, he was four until he was 19. Mm-hmm. Now, if he had some sort of cultural or family connection to Spain, then I might consider, but he's American. When he initially told me at around 21 weeks, I thought he was joking, so I let it go. But now that he has brought it up again, excuse me, I told him how I felt about it. I told him what I told you guys above, and that it would be hard for her because they are very different languages.
Yep.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm reading this getting more and more like,
Yeah.
He started arguing that there are many kids that are raised bilingual and are very smart, but I also feel like it might cut me off from my child. He is mad at me for not accepting that I can't help but wonder if I was the asshole here.
So
that was badly written.
I was just thinking that. I was like, okay, so context aside, So he's not Spanish, but he lived in Spain. He's not Spanish. He lived in Spain. Like, what, 15 years, something like that, when he was younger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the assumption is that he actually speaks Spanish.
Yeah.
I am going to assume so, yes. I mean,
15 years not being able to speak language. Questionable.
Well, yeah, possibly. I guess, I mean, do we, what's the first thing we want to break down here? Should a child have the decision whether or not it learns a second language?
I mean,
or should it be forced upon them by the parents?
You know, I didn't even think about it that way. I just feel like it's America, right? There's a lot of people that speak Spanish, and it just opens the child to like a different side. The child's gonna be like that weirdo who's like American but can speak English, and it's gonna fit in, you know, with like the Latin kids and like with the American kids. So I don't see any reason why you can't add like an additional skill to the child's set of tools or whatever.
Plus, long term, they do like language classes. That'll be a bonus for him, or perhaps a bonus for her.
Exactly, additional points to get to college and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing to have to be raised bilingual. Like, it's not. It's easier. I guess have it. So my nephew is half Japanese, half English, and he learned Japanese from an early age. And I guess it's easier for them to pick up, you know, at an earlier age than it is later life. You know, I have peanut brain, but like I would struggle to learn a second language regardless at this age, you know. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I question whether or not I guess it's important to him, but whether it has to be Spanish or not.
I think there's an underlying message here. Like, if you read between the lines, I think she's scared they'll have a thing together that she doesn't have. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because she does say that she's gonna feel disconnected.
Yeah, I think
because she's giving birth to a daughter, they might have things in common naturally. Like, she might be very feminine and wants to do hair or lay dresses or stuff like that. She might be interested in too. So it's not like there'll be a disconnect. They'll just have to find their own common ground.
So I think I think we're leaning towards, yeah, you're an asshole.
Yeah. I don't really know if it, I mean, did she veto it? I don't think she's vetoed it. Sometimes it's usually an update.
I kind of want to leave it like ambiguous, like just leave it hanging on the edge. But never know. This is a snap judgment based on very minimal facts. You're an asshole. That's it. No update.
I mean, she has actually been judged as an asshole. So yeah, I guess the general consensus is that she's the asshole.
I just realized on that Reddit thread, there's also, it says on the right, 4.0 million potential assholes. And 55,000 judging you right now. Oh, this is great. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely love it. This is literally what I spend my day doing.
Okay, this one, before you even read it out, I'm just like, I could just say from the headline, he's an asshole. Like, 100% he's an asshole. This one I read and I was like, what the hell? That's so uncalled for. Go on, sorry.
Actually, I feel like this might blow your mind because this was really interesting.
All right.
My wife is 28 weeks pregnant. She's currently on bed rest. When the doctor said that she has pregnancy complications, she has pregnancy complications and needs bed rest. I asked my wife if she could do a work from home job for at least part-time because my salary wasn't enough for us. She, however, refused and started saying that I am being cruel to a pregnant woman. So I didn't, I'm sorry. So I didn't speak about it again. And she...
That's so mean. The thought of being cruel to a pregnant woman. You cry with laughter. What's happening, Jenna? What's going on?
I really find humor in the upset. I'm sorry. and have been juggling both work as well as household chores. I cannot afford to hire house help, so I'm having to do everything at home. I barely get sleep since I'm working at a garage outside of my full-time job. I've been cost cutting almost everywhere except bare necessities. Yesterday, my wife asked me for my credit card because she needs some maternity clothes. I reminded her that she already has around 4 of those. Wow. She said that she doesn't have many clothes that fit her anymore, so she has nothing to wear at home. So last night, while I was sleeping, I went through the attic and found a bunch of clothes that are too big for me now because I lost a lot of weight. I handed those clothes to my wife and asked her to manage those. She started crying and said that I'm being cheap and not letting her use the credit card even for clothes. I told her that expensive maternity clothes are not a necessity when I've been waiting to buy myself a new pair of prescription glasses for almost 3 months now, even though mine are broken. I've put super glue on my glasses in order to use them. My wife has been ignoring me since then. Am I the asshole? Edit. So many commenters asked to add this to the edit. So here it is. My wife refuses to get anything except custom made clothes.
Right. Oh,
we have about $150 in our joint account. We don't have individual accounts. I don't have a hidden stash of money, as some commenters are claiming.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack on this one. So I was 100% on her side until I read the thing about custom made clothes, and then I'm kind of like, okay. I am curious as to why they only have $150 left in the joint account and they don't have individual accounts.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Like, how does that work?
I honestly don't know. I'm going to assume that they're Americans and they do some their money really weird.
Well,
that's odd.
Full context, I'm married to an American. They don't do that. It's weird. Okay. It's really weird. So that's really strange.
And decide like, okay, we're going to close down all our personal accounts
and just join everything together. That's kind of
perfect wise. Love.
Well, I mean, full disclosure, everyone knows what's going in. I'm out.
And yeah.
Are we talking about the pregnancy? Or are we talking about the account? Here?
Talking about the crypto.
I don't really know. I think that this is a classic example of a couple who aren't talking to each other properly, and there should be some form of communication to say, okay, look, I appreciate that you want maternity clothes. We can't do custom order fit. There's nothing we can do. But you know, there are stores in America, I'm gonna get laughed at for this, like Walmart or, you know, Target, where you could get clothes for cheap. Like, can we meet in the middle somewhere here and like get you some new stuff, but also not spend a fortune? What do you think, Zane?
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, it's, I don't know why, but as you read that, I picture Harry Potter, like with the broken glasses. Like, I've had to super glue them together.
Oh God! Oh.
That's the Dobby's gone. I don't know why. That's all I could think of. Like,
Zane, you went to the most depressing hidden ninth book where Harry gets Hermione pregnant and the two of them have to struggle on the magic poverty line.
Keep it a secret from Ron.
Exactly. Oh, God.
Wizard work doesn't pay that well.
Don't worry, Hermione. Maternity Experiamos. There.
Wow. Pregnancy.
Yeah, exactly.
That was really dark.
I don't know why.
He used his wand on her. Jesus. Anyway. God, this got weird. This got weird quick.
You got weird. I guess like the best thing he could do is just invest in crypto, because that's what the internet tells you to do. I mean, he's already on the right website. Reddit will give him enough advice to turn his fortunes around. So
it's not like you can't lose a fortune on it. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Just follow KSI. He just lost. Oh no, I mean, ignore that.
You saw that tweet, right? And he was just like, "Oh, 100K on Luna." I'm like, "What the fuck?" Mean 100K on Luna?
No, it's more than that. He lost like 2.2 million in crypto.
Yeah, what? In Bitcoin, like last year, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. Humans, yeah. He must be like crazy rich.
He's loaded, man. Because... like, he's absolutely loaded. Yeah. That's like, I mean, that's like a drop in the ocean to him, isn't it? Like, that's.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And like, they just talk about it on the show like it's nothing. And I'm like, I'm sorry, it is not.
It is to some people. I think getting back to the asshole. I think yeah. it's a bit of joint assholery on this. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree.
I'm still stuck in the part where he asked his pregnant wife to work. I mean, even work from home, work is just stressful.
I'm more at the point of like where he went up into the attic and got his own clothes and said, "Wear those.
It to her like him.
Don't worry, you look really good in dungarees. It's fine."
Must have bought Dobby new clothes.
Yeah, it's just a potato sack.
I like how he's proud of his weight loss. Like, I lost a couple of pounds.
Listen, fatty, check this out. I've got these clothes you can wear. Remember, when I was a
don't know if you knew about. Yeah, I don't know if you knew about this about me, but I used to be quite the fatty myself.
Yeah. You think you're the only lady I've got pregnant? Here, have these. Wow, we don't normally get this dark on Undisputed Nerds. It's nice. No, it's very refreshing.
Yeah.
I like
how these. Yeah, he just has like humble brags halfway through, doesn't he? I lost a couple of pounds, but I can't fix glasses. You know, I'm a humble
man. And I feel
man.
Like he's fishing for sympathy as well, because he's like, oh, you know, my glasses have been broken, this.
I've been using the same one for 3 months. It's like, I've been using the same one for 5 years. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
How often do you get those updated?
Well, they're saying, I mean, don't forget that he did save all of Hogwarts from...
And lose weight at the same time.
And like. Lose weight, exactly. Yeah, he lost all that weight. Ripped Radcliffe.
So, right. General consensus, they're both assholes, basically. Yes. And they need to talk to each other, because what the hell? Mm.
Sort your relationship out.
Get separate accounts.
Yeah, yes. Open your own accounts, you weirdos.
Even if it's a crypto one.
No, Zayd, stop encouraging crypto. What, is this your latest picture?
Cheese.
Okay. Am I the asshole for threatening to pour wine in someone else's dress? My dad and stepmom are getting married later on this year. They've been together for almost 15 years, and I'm so happy for them. They're keeping things really low-key and simple. I will be standing with my dad and my stepmom's friend, Jill. I'm a stepmom's friend, Jill.
They're keeping it really low and simple. I will be standing with my dad, and my stepmom's friend, Jill, will be standing with her. Weird sentence.
Hello, Jill.
Jill went up the hill. I picked a dress to wear, and my stepmom has seen it and loved it. My dress is cream, but she doesn't mind since she's wearing pink with champagne pashmina. We went out a few weeks ago and got matching tattoos on lunch. During this lunch, Jill messaged and found a dress and sent a picture. It's pink and gold.
Oh, I see. Right. You see the two guys here who had no idea what the relevance of that was? Like, we were just like... Oh, sounds good. Oh.
Okay. She it's has
matching the dressing.
Matching or clashing?
Well,
matching.
Both.
She's matching the bride. What a
bitch. Oh, match the bride. It's an actual forbidden law.
You literally no. It's like wearing white. Okay.
She's wearing cream, and she said it's fine because I'm wearing pink. So it was fine.
Yeah, because the bride's wearing pink and champagne. Pink and gold is literally
the same wearing
thing.
Pink and gold. You can't do that.
No, you can't.
That explains why everyone thought I was weird when I wore a wedding dress to my last friend's wedding. Oh, I didn't realise.
Excuse me. She has seen my stepmom's dress. It's the same colour. Honestly, the dress is also really ugly, like really, really ugly. Also, I wouldn't say totally appropriate for a 64-year-old woman, but that's just my opinion.
Meow.
My stepmom tried to be nice about telling her no, that she's the bride and her dress will overshadow her. that she'd prefer she picked a different color, etc. Jill just brushed it all off, saying no one would be looking at her, and not to be silly, my stepmom is not a confrontational person and won't just say no. I am, and I will. Oh, okay. Love the energy. After a few days of this, I messaged Jill and said, no, you're not wearing this dress. You've been told no. You're making my stepmom uncomfortable. No. She messages me back with the same shit, and I warned her that if she dared showed up in that dress, I would pour a bottle of wine on her. I will pour a bottle of wine on her. The whole damn thing. So find something else. No response. I visited my friend in another part of the country, and we went to a shop, and I sent her a dress of their red wine selection, asking if she had a preference. She wasn't wearing the dress. I said that was good to hear. I told my mom about it, and she agreed with me. But my grandma, stepdad, and aunt said I took it way too far. I should have left it to stepmom. Stepmom hasn't really said anything, just that she's glad Jill changed her mind. And dad said it would be a shame to waste wine.
Of course he did. Brilliant. Oh my God. These are just getting better and better. Right. So Zane, come on. You're the dress expert here. I want your opinion. The clash of pink and pink. What do we think?
Did you mean that to rhyme?
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic.
Just roll with it.
I think it's a tale of vengeance. More than anything, right? This is a real tale, a modern day tale of vengeance.
I'm here for the violence.
Yeah, if anyone was wondering what the next Batman movie will be about, the perfect tale of vengeance.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah, I guess like Jill
is the asshole.
Yeah. And
is she though? Is she though?
Yeah.
Okay, what well, do you mean? Okay. So to begin with, yes, I understand the dress match is obviously uncalled for, and how could she? However, there is a very clear point in this when the stepmom does talk to her and makes it clear, I don't really want you to wear that dress. And then she doesn't wear that dress. And then after that, she then gets harassed by people threatening to throw wine at her.
No, no. Jill says that she's still going to wear the dress, and she brushes it off.
And then she gets threatened with a
wine. And then she gets threatened, and then she says she's not going to do it. See, some people only respond to violence. So Gandhi said, if there's violence in you, and the only way you can, you know, respond to something is violence, then go ahead. Remember, he told that to Baracus. Oh, shit, no, sorry.
That's not Gandhi, mate.
Do you
May fighter Gandhi.
Are you quoting the A-team right now?
Yeah.
The 2013 remake, A-team.
Yes.
Wow, what a pull.
Wow, that was amazing. Oh God,
those are also slightly older women as well, aren't they? Like, this is a 64-year-old Jill that we're dealing with here.
Fucking Jill, man.
She's had no way for 64 years.
Also, the stepmom's done well. The stepmom's 60 and she's marrying a 50-year-old man. She's got 10 years on the guy. Oh,
I didn't even catch that, you know.
Look at that. Good job, stepmom.
Love that.
Maybe Jill's jealous. Maybe there's more going on behind the scenes here.
Interesting.
One last thing I want to point out is vengeance here is quite the jet setter, where they said they went to another part. Did they say they went to another country?
Where
another part of the country.
Another part of the country.
Oh, by the way, can I just ask, what do we think about the sentence, we went out a few weeks ago and got matching tattoos and lunch?
I mean,
while the them for their bonding.
Yeah, lovely.
We have to hold that, you know.
Yeah. Do you think they got the do you think they got the famous Gandhi quote just across the chest? But yeah, I'm very close with quite a few people in life, Zane. But we've never got matching tattoos together. Maybe that's something we need to do.
I think so. Yeah.
They're like levels to these things, because they just reach a peak.
Yeah, that's what it is, exactly. We should get...
I mean, they're finally becoming family after what? Just 15 years.
Yeah.
That's no big deal.
Exactly. Well, maybe this is just the latest matching tattoos. Maybe their whole body is like one big etch-a-sketch puzzle together, like when they line up perfectly, it all just sinks.
I do also have a question as to why are they just getting married after like 15 years? So they met when he was what? 35?
Yeah, tax dodge. Tax dodge, that's what it is. Yeah, I don't know. It's it can happen. I have a friend couple who were together for 18 years and then decided to get married. So it can happen, but I don't know. Maybe the step
the girl thing then why we don't get it, because after like 3-5 years we're like, okay, it's been 5 years.
Well, you say that, but maybe the stepmom pushed for it because 64-year-old Jill showed up on the scene wearing matching dresses and suddenly getting a ring on that guy right away. I think that this person was an asshole after a point, I think up until then probably slightly justified in Jill being a dick
before she offered violence.
Exactly. Yeah, before she went down the Gandhi route of violence, she should have thought about it and said, you know.
And then she like she trolls her as well by sending pictures of the red wine selection, like, which one you want.
Ironically enough, that's probably my favorite part of this story. But between that and the dad not giving an actual shit at all and just saying, it'd be a waste of wine, if I'm honest with you.
Like, you want Merlot, Shiraz, like, which one?
A lovely Cabernet. Love it. Delicious. Yes, yeah. Oh, that's, good. Okay. Yeah, asshole, but only at a certain point.
I don't think she's an arsehole at all. I think she's a legend. Wow. And she needs to be commended.
Don't invite Echina to any weddings anytime soon, guys.
Rock up matching your wife. Just telling you right now, that's the energy I'm going to come with.
She is.
She's going to come with her own wine and the matching dress. God, imagine if Jill had turned up and poured wine on her dress instead. Like, it just like escalated.
It would have been blended in because it's pink. No,
no.
Rosé. They threw a rosé wine on it. Perfect blend. All right. Oh, this one's gonna be horrible. I don't know. Go on.
Am I the asshole for refusing to help out my ex with his son? Ex and I have been divorced for 8 years. His son is 8. Oh, okay. I see where this is going. Ex and I share 2 children together. Our son is 16 and our daughter is 14. Ex cheated when got the other woman pregnant while, you know, just a side note, I hate when they do this. Like, they put like abbreviations and I'm like, was anyways other woman pregnant while we were together. When I found out, I ended our marriage. We fought for our marriage until he realized nothing was going to change.
Yeah.
And then he entered a real relationship with the other woman. I always kept things distant between us. I didn't meet or interact with his son or the other woman until 3 years after the divorce. And even then, it was at a play for our son and we hardly interacted.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I've just seen that. A year later, the other woman died.
Huh. Oh, my.
Ex has been single since and raising his son. Oh. On more than one occasion, he has asked me for help and I've always said no. He wanted me to be a maternal figure for his son. Oh, sorry. And to help him sometimes while our kids were with me. Sorry, were you going to say something?
No, I'm just, this is like we've been going through the happy asshole spilling wine on the dress. No, it's just like emotion. Like, oh my God.
He even tried to get my family to include his son as part of our family overall. Then a couple of months ago, X was in an accident and his son was placed in temporary foster care while he was recovering.
Jesus Christ!
For fuck's sake.
Did you save this one to like just proofread it? It was just like,
No, I literally have not read this one at all. This is literally the last one, as you can see. This is the last one I take that I was like, oh, it's short. It's going to be cute and sweet for the end. But, yeah, no, clearly not. While he was recovering, he had asked me to take his son and I said no. He got back on his feet only recently and his son is back with him. He has now turned on me and tried to turn our kids on me. They told me he's always annoying them about it when they're with him for his parenting time. X has been telling everyone and anyone that I'm treating his son like trash, letting him go into foster care, etc. A couple of my friends are aware and think my stance was too harsh and that I am in the wrong for not helping since he is my children's sister's brother. Am I the asshole?
Ouch.
Jesus. Sorry, I'm just going
to
go out
of camera to blow my nose.
Can I just say as well, we don't know for a fact that meant other woman. She might have been really vindictive and just said ogre witch or something instead. You know, you have no idea what that OW means.
Sorry, one sec.
I think. Zane, I'm going to let you take this one.
So the two things that jumped to mind with this. The first one, I swear to God, this is the Stark family in Game of Thrones. Like, this is the Ned Stark, Jon Snow, like...
I see it.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And what's her name? His wife, Caitlin. Caitlin Stark. It's that whole scenario. Also, the other thought I had is this would make a great Netflix series, like Netflix exclusive. Like...
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean that's 12 episodes right there. Like, that's money right there on a Reddit post. Like,
yeah, I mean, I was thinking about the boundaries of relationships and how you know stepchildren are considered family to each other. But yeah, sure, Netflix series. Let's go with that scene. Why not? Jesus Christ!
Actually, you know what we could do? You could make this the season. What, season 4 of You? Just add this to it.
I haven't seen You.
Oh my goodness. Season 4 is meant to be coming out sometime this year.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. This could be like the plot, because he's got a kid now and he stole the kid, right? So this could be the plot to it. Sorry. But carry on, guys.
Spoilers? Jesus. yeah, I don't know about this one. This one's really hard. Like, I think she's
definitely the asshole. Would
you raise your ex's child as your own?
That's the thing. I guess it's...
I mean,
conceived out of adultery, by the way. A child conceived out of adultery.
Yeah, but they're not... I mean, I understand. And I kind of... I don't know. It's really hard on this one because it's like... A, was there no... He has no other family then. There's nobody else in his life whatsoever apart from his ex. That's what we're establishing here. He's got no brothers. He's got no sisters. He's got no other family members. Because I agree with you. It's slightly unfair to ask the woman who, you know, like who basically you cheated on to raise the kid of the wife of the partner of who you cheated on.
I feel like after like she died.
Well, that's where it gets murky, isn't it?
Personally, even if she did die, I'd help you to an extent, but yeah. It's not my child.
Yeah, but have the kid over while the guy's recovering from the hospital. It's not like the kid's going to live with you forever.
But then, but he'll get comfortable with that and be like, oh, you're taking care of him for like X amount
also,
of
months. Let's not forget that it's kid's fault that his dad is a prick, isn't it?
Okay, yeah, it's not his fault. I'm just saying, personally, I'd help out, but I wouldn't raise it as my own. I'm like, okay, I can take care of it for like 4 hours. Come back and take it out.
They said it. I'm sorry. Three kids and it.
Yes, I would raise the hellspawn. no, I think, I don't know. It's, yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because if she didn't look after it whilst, oh God, I'm doing it now. If she didn't look after the child while the guy was recovering, he was in foster care.
Mm.
That's not really cool, is it? Like,
No, it's not. And these are like her children's little brother, like they said right there. Like, come on. Like, I understand he cheated, and like it took you a year to even see them, or 3 years to even see them. But like, I don't know. Like, by now it's been how many years? It's been 8 years, and you haven't let it go.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it sounds like, isn't it? Is that he is a reminder of a painful experience. Pain, yeah.
Yeah.
She needs a therapist.
There's there's this weird like Aussie sort of quote, which is because he had no say in it, which is to do with what they normally say at birthdays. So when people say like happy birthday and stuff, they normally say he's so beautiful, he's so fantastic, but he had no say in it. It's because he had no say in his conception.
You said it, yeah. Was it B.A. Baracus?
Yeah. You know, that famous Aussie guy.
I got you, yeah. Yeah, I got you. Okay. You never live in
which
that
is an amazing
ever. You never. Yeah, I got you. Okay, cool. Yeah, I don't. This one's really tough. I think that it's. I don't think you can call anyone outright an asshole in this situation. I think it's just a really, really messed up situation. That
No, I definitely can. She's an asshole for sure.
Nah,
She is a mother. She is a mother. Well,
just because she's a mother doesn't mean she has to take care of the love child of her ex.
No. I'm sorry, yeah. She's actually evil because
escalated quickly.
No.
That happened to you. Okay, it's not the child's fault that happened. That his father was a cheater.
Yeah.
But at the same time, as it's been pointed out, they have friends. Why doesn't he ask one of his female friends? It's not like
actually that's a good point. And also, doesn't the other woman? Doesn't she have family that he could, you know, pull the kids?
Why does it have to be her?
It doesn't have to be her. She's not. She's not asking the situation. I said, yeah, she should have helped out, but she shouldn't be the sole caregiver when he wasn't like in
hospital. A last resort.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, he was probably the asshole initially.
Yeah.
that kicked off all of this shit. you know, because he could have kept it in his pants, but.
Yeah.
I will say since then, I mean, it's a really unfortunate series of events to have the mother die and then him to have an accident and then to be put in that scenario. But I don't think you should. I don't think you should put all of it.
Yeah.
If there wants to, there should definitely be some family involvement because, as you rightly said, they're like they're brothers. But like, I don't think it's particularly fair to have it. All on that other person.
On her. They have friends. They have other family members. It's just not on her to take care of their
children. How big's her place as well? Like,
I know, right?
I know she's like probably got what, three kids. Yeah, she's got three kids already. She's gonna have to invest in bunk beds or something. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
I think didn't she have a famous career as a remove wine stains from dresses cleaner? I think that's what it is. That, you know,
some say.
Yeah. Apparently it's really hot topic around wedding season. But...
You know, the husband's also kind of is 100% an arsehole because he's poisoning the kids towards this woman as well.
Yeah, that's even worse.
He's 100%
family, like, she's not helping out my child.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah, that's shit. That's not cool.
Yeah. I feel like this kind of guy, even being married to him or being with him anyway, is kind of like a, it will probably drive you crazy. So I see why.
Yeah.
This woman doesn't want to, like, yeah, I get it, but
yeah,
I still think.
I guess we're making assumptions, but I guess he's the type of guy that would invest all his money in NFTs and not in health insurance when he's had a car accident. Hence why the kids end up in foster care. Foster care.
Is that our sponsor for this week, Zane? Is it? good.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, so that's our little Am I the Arsehole section.
I feel like we've grown as humans.
I feel enlightened.
I feel enlightened too.
I feel petty.
With the wisdom of Gandhi.
No, I'm talking about myself. Knowing you go to someone and you're like, damn, you're worse than me.
That's
not too good.
Oh, right.
Okay.
We're here to
get to the real reason why we're here.
The main event. Let's get to the main event. Moon Knight. So
yes.
Marvel's limited series. It's wrapped up last week. 6-episode run. Oscar Isaacs is Mark Spector. Mm-hmm. Also Stephen Grant. Also, what was the other guy's name?
Jake Lockley.
That's it.
Lockley.
And Moon Knight, the superhero Moon Knight. So I guess what do we normally do here? We normally do like spoilers and non-spoilers and spoilers, don't we, Zane?
Yeah.
Even though I've just given a little bit of a spoiler in the first instance. Never mind. Sorry.
It's a week old.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Get over it, nerd.
If you haven't seen it by now, that's your problem.
Yeah. So, well, I guess we'll go around the. Should we go around the room in this one as we're all together? I don't know how you guys do it normally, but we have a very simple rating. It's either undisputed, which means it's good, or it's disputed, which means it's bad. So, going around the room, would you like to begin, Shanna?
You binged it in like 2 days, didn't you?
No, just yesterday, actually, the last like 4 hours.
You didn't have the proper human experience of one a week.
Yeah, I mean, I did at the start, but you know.
And you call yourself a guest nerd.
I would say undisputed.
Okay.
Begrudgingly.
Cherie, you want to go next?
Chewy.
Undisputed. Cool. Yeah. Zane.
I'm gonna say undisputed, but just.
Oh, interesting. I'm also undisputed, but I have to know more about why it's a just from you.
Okay. So this might be a little bit of a hot take, but it could have done with some more Moon Knight. As crazy as that sounds, a lot of, I guess for me, what kind of grated on me, and I know other people as well, but for me, it became a buddy cop movie of one person, and I wasn't digging that halfway through this. I was kind of like, you know what, this is exhausting now. Like,
yeah. Yeah, okay, I can kind of see where you're coming from with that. I did really enjoy it. I feel like this was much more of a like an introduction vehicle to get Moon Knight into the MCU as opposed to an actual like contained series like Hawkeye.
Yeah.
But yeah,
dare I say, like the kids on the streets these days, I found it very mid, a mild.
You little MJF, honestly, what's going on with you? I don't know. I think that like Oscar Isaacs was amazing in this. Like he was really good, and I enjoyed the. So it's not in spoiler territory by saying that he's got dissociative identity disorder, aka DID. So he is two different people, and I thought that they. English accent aside, he did a really good job like differentiating and establishing the two separate people and the nature of how they were and what they were all about, and the idea that like people with this condition, it's really hard. Like, it's a really hard situation to be in, because it's like you can just like, you know, you're you 1 minute and then you black out, and 3 days later you wake up and you don't know what the hell you've done, and somebody else has lived your life, kind of thing, you know. And it's a horrible experience to kind of have to go through, and there is a situation where people, you know, live with this constantly, and it's more than just two people. So, you know, I thought he played it like really well. What do you guys think? You're itching to say something, Chana. I can see on your face. You're like,
No. Chana, would you like to take this one, please? I beg you.
Spoilers. Why? Yeah, I agreed. It needed to be a bit more moonlight. There was a, like, oh, I enjoyed the acting overall, but I was like, okay, but where is he? Like, I've seen him, like, in three episodes. Well, actually, we all saw him in, like, last episode.
Yeah.
And then the first two episodes, and that was literally all we saw of Moonlight.
Yeah, we do see, so I guess it's a weird thing, because
it's like a snippet of him, like 2 seconds, we're done.
Yeah, there is a lot to say about the fact that we get Mr. Knight in this as well, which is when Stephen is Moon Knight instead of Spectre. And so he's like in the mask and in the like white suit instead of being like proper Moon Knight. So we did get got, I guess they tried to even it out between Moon Knight and Mr. Knight, because that is quite an iconic look from the comic books, is him in that mask and the suit.
And you can tell like the Moon Knight outfit is expensive. Like half of it was CGI. Like his face is a CGI mask. So. Yeah, you can tell like they want to play that down as much as possible.
It really reminded me of Spawn. Like, do you remember Spawn, Zane?
Really?
Yeah. Don't know what it was. It was like, it's the way that like the effects that they did, where they kind of like just like all the bandages and stuff go over him and like engulf him. Yeah, it looked just like Spawn. I was like, that is kind of. I wonder if it's like the evolution of that, you know, studio that originally did the special effects on that. They just got, right, we can do weird suits, guys. That's our specialty. We're going to do weird suits. Like, don't worry about it. It's fine. Don't worry. You want bandages? Yeah, we've got it. Oh, you want an actual suit? It's not really what we do, guys. I guess it's, there wasn't a lot of Moon Knight when I think back on it, was there? I agree. But you did get a couple of... let's just go into spoilers. We might as well just, like, break the seal on this. Like we said, it's been a week. Who cares? I guess they were trying to convey, like, the idea of, like, the best action happens off-screen. And when he blacks out, he then wakes up and all this stuff has happened. Go on, what were you going to say? Sorry.
Me?
Yeah.
Alex is agreeing.
Oh, you agree? Sorry. because I don't know. It's like, okay, so for context, guys, the whole plot of this series, if you haven't seen it, I don't know why you're watching a review of Moon Knight if you haven't seen it, but if you haven't seen it, the idea is that, so Mark Spector and Stephen Grant, who has DID, is an avatar of an ancient Egyptian god who is the god of the moon,
Khonshu. And vengeance.
Huh?
And justice.
And justice. he's his avatar who is enforced to like right the wrongs of the world, I guess. And there is a bad guy who I'm trying to... Harrow, I think his name is.
Arthur Harrow. Yep.
Arthur Harrow, that was it. Who is played by Ethan Hawke, who must have had a very uncomfortable walk to work every day. He is trying to release an evil god known as Amit, who judges people before they've done anything wrong. And the whole that's basically the plot is Stephen and Mark trying to come to terms with who they are, whilst also this interweaving plot with Harry.
Wild goose chase of MacGuffins and ancient gods and
you know,
beams in the sky.
Sorry to interrupt.
Mm.
This whole Disney / Marvel trying to make unpopular opinions popular. So like, ooh, there's like an ongoing theme of how do we, I don't really, like the life of a few and the life of many, like, you know, like the whole endgame thing where Thanos was gonna do the, you know, the snap, and then like half of the world died, and the heroes were on this particular side because freaking, what's his face? Captain America is the goody two shoes, always right thing going on. And so I feel like they had that going on with this as well, where Amit, is that her name? She judges people before they do the wrong thing, and then there's this guy who judges them at the end when they have done like the wrong thing. So it phases the question, it gives you the question of like, who's right? Like, it makes you actually ask yourself the question. And I hate when they do that, because I'm not an idiot, Marvel? I'm just telling you. Like, don't try to push your little agenda on me. I see what you're doing. I'm kidding.
I just got a text message from Feige. He's seen the show. He's agreeing with you. He's gonna do that. Don't worry, it's fine.
So I noticed that they always have this thing going on, and I'm so sick of it. Well, I'm like, I get it, but like,
It's an interesting point. I guess it's kind of one of those like subsets of the genre, because like comic books themselves are very kind of moralistic in that regard, where it's like, you know, the hero's journey, that, you know, typically, unless you get something like the Punisher or something like that, the hero doesn't kill, and then you get that morality question of, well, what's the weight of one life versus millions, you know? And it could be argued sometimes that is killing the right thing to do, you know? Like, look at a hero in like DC, for example. Look at Batman, you know? It's like the Joker is an irredeemable monster of a person.
Yeah.
And he has killed thousands of people, you know, when you look at it on the whole. Justifiably speaking, Batman should have killed him many, many, many years ago. Then all those people wouldn't have died. But then you can ask yourself, well, if Batman then crosses that line, does he then become just as bad? And it becomes an easy thing for him to kill. And then where does the line blur? So yeah, I think you're right. It is a I guess it's kind of a trope of the genre almost now, where it's like they do explore that quite a lot, where it's like, what is a good and bad? And that, you know, sometimes the best villains are, I mean, the best villains are the ones who always think they're right anyway. Like, they always think they're the good guys. Like, Thanos thought he was the good guy. Like, and this one, Harrow.
Never won a favor.
Yeah, I mean, Harrow is I guess this guy in this one was kind of different in the sense of he was, like, he was an avatar of Khonshu previously, and he feels like he's dirtied himself, so he needs to try and make up for that by, you know, being pure through Amit.
Going on a pilgrimage, isn't he, really?
Exactly. Like,
yeah,
exactly. I mean, which is why he walks on glass every day. which, you know, I mean, blimey.
But it is a class of a clash of ideology as well, because his whole point is, you know, kill baby Hitler. You know, something that's come up before. You know, if you could have killed baby Hitler, knowing, you know, the terrible things he would have done, would you have pulled the trigger? It's that, you know.
I'm sorry. Do you know why I'm laughing? Because Faith and I had this exact conversation, like, what, on Monday or was it Tuesday? And I said I was going to kill baby Hitler.
You actually did.
Wow.
Sorry. Just carry on.
Where I guess Khonshu and Moon Knight's whole ideology is, you know, they're innocent until guilty. Until they do something bad. So I guess it's kind of like Minority Report.
Yeah, it is.
Tom Cruise.
Like, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's, if you got, I guess it's an interesting question to raise of like, if you guys were living in a society where you can be punished before you've even done a crime, how, you know, is that a free society? Is that technically free? Who's to say the system is perfect or imperfect? You know, I guess it's that kind of question. Getting deep with this. We don't normally get this deep on Undisputed Nerds.
I know.
Weird,
so. Psychopaths.
So this is our bread and butter. Sorry, what did you say, Faith?
Mine's a psychopath. Listable system.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Where the civil system prejudges people before they even do anything wrong.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's true. I conceptually speaking, like I don't know enough about Moon Knight as a comic itself. I know he's one of the Marvel Knights, and like it does feel like they are. We've talked about this in the past, just kind of going back to kind of the Marvel-y side of things. It feels like they're setting up for some kind of mystical either TV series crossover or film. You know, they've already announced Blade is coming out, who's obviously predominantly vampires.
Yeah, and they've reintroduced Daredevil as well.
Yeah, I wonder, because Daredevil is also part of Marvel Knights, and so is Blade. So, maybe they're gonna do like a big crossover. I was saying to Zane, I don't think you can introduce a character like Moon Knight with an actor as large as Oscar Isaacs, because Oscar Isaacs is A-list, and not have him
something with it. Yeah.
Exactly, like, because this is a limited series. They're not gonna make any more Moon Knight TV series. It's confirmed. Yeah. Like it's been nominated for an Emmy in the limited formula, so it means that they don't nominate those unless they're not going to get a sequel. So even though there was that big cliffhanger spoiling at the end of it, it's not going to go into a second season. So I assume they're going to put it into films. Like, that's the only thing I could think of. I wouldn't be surprised if he turns up in Blade. I really wouldn't. But yeah, I mean, as far as like the story is concerned, I had a friend complaining about this series because I guess it was directed by three different people. Like, it was like two episodes, and it was different people every time. And my friend said it felt really disjointed and all over the place because it was different directors each time. And sure. I was kind of like, well, I know what you mean, but I think it was intentional because I think they tried to make it so that it was like his personality. So that it felt really like, because the first two episodes are all about Steven. Like it's the Steven show in the first two episodes. And then the middle two episodes are all about Mark and Mark Spector's life. And then the fifth episode kind of brings all of it together with the two of them and how Steven exists in Mark's life. Because Mark is, I guess, the dominant personality. And then the final is the conclusion of everything and what's going on. So for me, it was kind of like it made a lot of sense in terms of how they were making it. Did you guys feel that way as well? Or am I just a cult of one kind of thinking that?
I didn't notice the disjointment of it because I didn't know that there were three directors, but I did catch the theme of the first two episodes being about, what's his face, Steven, and then Mark, and then kind of like a balance. And then they kind of show us that there's a third in, like, I think episode five, where, what's that thing called? Is it an esophagus?
The sarcophagus.
Yes, that. There was a third one in a different room and they didn't look into that room. Well, they saw it, they just ignored it. And then there was also the balance. It wasn't until there was an acknowledgement. Until his other side kind of got frozen.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Towerette?
Yes,
that was when they then had the balance, and I guess Osiris also had something to do with this as well.
Yeah,
apparently, because it was in front of Osiris's gate that they become unfrozen, and he opens his gate and they get back into the real world. So I think that bit kind of confused me because they only like slightly mentioned Osiris, and then all of a sudden Osiris is doing madness, you know, unfreezing people and letting them through, which we weren't even, I mean, I guess we were told that he had a consciousness, but anyways, it was all kind of jumbled. That just that bit just threw me off a bit, but yeah. I guess I also kind of saw the whole, what's her name? The wife and... Oh.
Layla, that was it.
I kind of saw that coming from like a mile away. I don't know why. and I was like, oh yeah, big surprise. Okay.
because they need to sell action figures.
Yeah. Right? I was like, I mean, I love it. I don't get me wrong, but it was just so obvious. And I was like, oh, okay. It kind of, it didn't ruin it. I was still hyped when she actually, by the way, that scene was so badass. Where she just she just came down with like the wings and everything, and I was like, okay, I see you. Like, that was a really, really cool scene.
Is it like golden scarab or something like that, isn't it?
Scarlet Scarab.
Scarab, that's the one. Yes. Yeah. that's her official name. Okay. Yeah, The third identity thing was kind of cool, because they actually precursored it like back in episode 3, because there's a scene where Spectre and Grant are trying to like basically get information about where Amit is on the roof in Cairo, and then he blacks out, and the next minute, you know, they're all dead, like brutally murdered.
And she was like, oh, what was that? Like, who was that? And
why did you do that?
Each other, like, oh, was that you? And he was like, no, that wasn't me. I had no recollection. And it was like, oh,
yeah.
And they just blanked over that, like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, as far as kind of like the personality differences and that side of things, like, were you guys, I got to ask you this. It's a very simple question. Did you prefer Mark Spector or Stephen Grant?
I prefer Mark. Mark's American's it.
Yeah,
Mark's an American. That's who I like the most.
You like Mark, okay?
Yeah. Okay, so at first I liked Mark. Okay, and then at the end, I preferred Stephen.
He's so annoying.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, that was my exact thought. But at the end, I just preferred Stephen.
And he's just so.
Oh,
he doesn't get timid at the end though. He's like,
yes, I agree, but that's because he's like, I can build Mark too. And no,
you like, but yeah,
you're your own person.
It's the power within learning your inner strength. That's what it's all about, right?
Which, like, by the way, it was after he found out that Mark, spoiler alert, created him.
Yeah, well, I was going to talk about that with you next, because I'm just curious, Zay, which did you prefer?
Ooh, I don't know if I had a preference, really.
You love Stephen, you little swat. Come on, I know you did. Look at you.
No, not really, because, like, to begin with, I did like him, because I thought it was funny, and I felt he played it very Doctor Who. Like,
yeah, he did,
you know what I mean? Like, he knew everything, but he was a bumbling idiot at the same time. Like, that's what I thought. And then you got Poe from Star Wars turning up, like, trust in me. Is there a preference? My preference is the one with the cape and hood, like, at the end of the day.
Yeah, your preference is bloody Jake Lockley, isn't it? The savage murderer who just kills everyone.
I laughed out loud when he kicked the wheelchair.
Jesus, you know, Christ!
It's just that pent-up rage where you can't just put a man in a limo and then wheel off the wheelchair. He has to kick it over, like...
You're a monster, Zane. You're an absolute monster.
I obviously relate to the monster in this. Yeah,
which personality are you
all today? Three of them. Jesus. Yeah. The one that's locked up screaming in a sarcophagus.
Yeah, no,
it's like we wake up every day.
So frustrated, you have to kick wheelchairs. We actually just liked it because that's your hobby in real life, isn't it, Zane? That's what you do. You just around kicking any wheelchair you can find. That's what you're all about.
Sometimes I have to substitute to a shopping trolley just to get my kicks.
Get the edge off. I was a Mark fan, and then as the show went on, I was more of a Stephen fan, because I just appreciated that. I wanted to go on to that episode and that you brought up, Jenna, about the. Because this was the first foray,
basically.
Yeah, so this was the first foray for Marvel into the world of kind of dealing with abuse at home and grief manifested in a very horrible.
1 minute, but I'm coming back. My dad's calling me, but I just want to let you know that I'm not like disappearing.
Yeah, that's okay. No
worries. like dealing with trauma in a very negative way and a very toxic, horrible way. And taking it out on children, and those children growing up to have their own problems. So yeah, we find out that Stephen is a manifestation of Mark's
coping mechanism.
Yeah, precisely. And once that kind of kicked in, I liked Stephen even more. I kind of identify more with those kind of protector kind of things, where it's like I do anything to just protect someone from that, because that's a horrible experience. I'm curious to know what you guys thought of that episode specifically, and also like the slightly harder maybe topics of subject matter that Marvel are kind of delving into with these kind of characters.
I think what I mainly found interesting was the name Stephen Grant. It was his Indiana Jones character that he really loved and, you know, felt like it would protect him. And I also think that the Stephen Grant in the film and the Stephen Grant that we meet are completely different. And I kind of feel like he called his brother, his younger brother, Dr. Grant, right? So I kind of felt like Stephen was a replacement for his younger brother in a weird kind of way, which I just think is adorable and really, really sad. I think that literally caught me, because until that moment I was just like, yeah, Stephen's a bit of a wuss. He's just like this know-it-all guy who just, you know, always doing good, always like, and then I was like, oh, there's actually a reason for him, and there's a reason he's like this. And I also then noticed, I don't know if you do notice, but what's his name? Stephen only comes out when Mark feels trapped. It just seemed so obvious to me once I found out. But so he was running away from Layla and all his problems, and then Mark had been living that life until like a week when he found out about his mother passing, and so I just think it's really sorry, my thoughts are kind of jumbled up at the moment. Like,
that's all right.
Several things are coming to me at the same time, so I'll just hand it over to someone else.
I will say that, like, Zane, I don't know whether you've got anything to add on to this, but they did do a really good job, because this is, it's very easy. The nice thing about Marvel is you've got very relatable heroes, in the sense of, like, there's a guy with a bow and arrow, there's a guy who, there's a lady who's a spy, basically. You know, it's like, they're relatable human figures. I mean, Captain America, okay, yeah, fine. It gets to a bit ridiculous level where it's like a super soldier serum, but he's just a guy who had some stuff in him and he happened to be a really good guy. Iron Man is, you know, just a guy who's got tech stuff. When you're dealing with Moon Knight...
I'm sorry, you said he has stuff in him?
Oh, he's got some stuff in him, all right, let me tell you. He's been stuffed with that stuff. Oh, honestly, he's full to the brim with stuff. I will roll with that until the cows come home. So don't ever, you know.
Sorry, carry on with
that's all right. This hero is a like super secret agent hitman guy who has his powers derived from an Egyptian god. It's very hard to relate to that. And say, oh yeah, I know what that life's like. Whereas Stephen is something that we can all relate to, you know, maybe me more so than anyone because I'm a dork. But like, you know, like he's got that kind of thing where we can be like, oh yeah, that's me in that scenario, because I would be freaking the hell out if I saw a big, like, crow head skeleton thing coming at me. I would not react well. So it was a clever concept of like being the MacGuffin that gets us into the person's kind of life. What did you think, Zane, about that one?
Yeah, I see where you're going with it. It's just to expand on it, you know, Captain America was bullied. We've all experienced bullying at some point in our lives and such. Spider-Man has trouble throughout his entire life. Every good moment, there's a bad moment. Again, it's relatable. So yeah, I guess with Moon Knight, those things are kind of relatable. Like, you know, sadly, we've probably experienced the passing of a loved one. He loses his mother, good or bad. It's still a hard thing. And I think for a lot of people, that was a turning point for an episode. It's just a shame that it came at episode 5 and not earlier.
Is it?
Yeah, because you can tell, like, the formula with these TV shows is, like, the last two episodes is the hour or the last 40 minutes of the movie. And everything, the beginning bit is probably the beginning of a movie, but everything in the middle is just stretched out and maybe kind of done this, that, and the other, because it's 45 minutes here, there. Yeah. Where it's you can tell it was written for a movie, but it's, some bits are just stretched out to fit the mold.
I wouldn't agree with that.
I'm with the channel on that one. Yeah.
I feel like it's clearly thought out with the, because they specifically made it 6 episodes and they just stretched the entire story for those. And I felt like each episode had its own theme and what they tried to kind of tell us I think the last two episodes were literally that. You are quite right. It's the final moment. It's that dawning moment where you relate to the character, and then there's kind of like an end, and you know, we have the happy ending, as it were. I do agree with that last statement, but I don't necessarily think it was like a movie that they stretched out. I think they really planned it.
Also, talking about the abuse episode as well, like you've got to, I mean, think about your audience saying, like, yeah, it was in episode 5. It can't be in the last episode, because that's going to be a downer right from the get-go.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But put it in episode 5, because what do you want? You want it in the first two episodes, which is typically when people will start watching, and people will go into this expecting, oh, it's going to be Marvel. It's going to be bombastic. It's going to be like, wow, bam, yeah, let's do it. And it's like, if you put that right in the first episode, they're like, what the fuck is this?
Well, yeah, I'm not saying put it right at the beginning, but I'm saying, like, episode 3 at least, because you know, for that audience, are like, for example, like my other half, my wife, she was like, I don't get this at all, I don't even know what's going on anymore, I'm out. And that's before, you know, episode 3.
What's one of the dragons, like, on Dragon's Den? What are you talking about?
There are people out there like me who, like, halfway through are like, the fuck is this?
I'm just
saying, it's not just me, but carry on.
Just spice it with a little bit of drama a little bit earlier. I think it would have, you would have had a, you know, it would have gone from a mild to a hot.
Yeah, it would have gone from a Marvel show to a Gordon Ramsay show. I look forward to you talking more about this cooking.
What are you, an idiot sandwich?
Yeah, exactly. What are you, an Egyptian god? Yeah. That's it. That's exactly saying. Yeah, nice. No, I thought that the dynamics of it, I did really enjoy it overall. We might as well talk very briefly about the villain in this. So, like, obviously we mentioned him earlier on.
Before we do, can we get Chera's little thoughts on?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know what the last 5 minutes have been about, to be honest. So I came in halfway through conversation.
We were kind of just going over basically
the last two episodes and what we kind of thought on
the journey and like the idea that Marvel are delving into slightly darker story material with like abuse,
like
story
episode 5 and about his mum, because I think you raised a really good point about trauma when we had that discussion. Was it yesterday or the day before? Yeah, we talked about, wait, where's my phone? Yeah, we talked about.
We talked about our character preferences. I don't think we talked about trauma as per se in our conversation, did we?
We talked about the abuse with his mum.
No, we didn't.
We didn't? Oh, shit, then. Must be someone else.
Wow.
I've cheated on my wife, guys.
Well, this has been all for this episode, guys. So we'll see you next time.
I did actually watch like an intro into like Moonlight in general, because I haven't read the comics, so I didn't know much about it. And originally it was meant to be like Marvel's intro into like mental health, so it makes sense why they did put it there. But to put it in episode 5, I do agree, it was kind of a bit late. If Moonlight was meant to be your entry to the discussion of mental health, why would you leave it to last 2 episodes? Maybe not the first 2, but maybe 3 or 4 would have sufficed.
I guess, does the conversation about mental health, does it always have to begin with the trauma?
I guess not, but when we look at his personalities, they're the root of it, which is his trauma. So maybe it's not, it shouldn't be the first starting point, but when you remember his origins, first of all, he's a mercenary, but his mercenary, that's rooted in his anger from the world.
Yeah.
And his anger from the world comes from his anger towards his mother.
I hear you, Faith, but I feel like as adults, right, we don't, or as adults, we don't
just about for me
we don't really take stock of our childhood and like the mess that we've kind of been through until much later. Like I'm literally just kind of going through that in my mind, and I'm like, you know, quarter of the way to 100. So I feel like it does make sense. I do agree that they should have maybe put it when they were telling Mark's little story. But I like that it was after his death, after something major that like kind of happened, and it kind of forced him to look at his past, because he has a habit of just pushing things under, you know, under the rug. He creates Steven, and I'm sure he created this Lockley guy, who's like the savage side of himself after what he did when he was in the army. I'm going to assume that that's probably what triggered that. I
can't remember what happens in the comic books, but I'm assuming that Mark is the dominant. I know Mark Spector in the books is like the alter ego of Moon Knight, but I assume he's the dominant personality, and it's not actually Jake.
He's the dominant one.
I'm saying Mark probably created Lockley to hide his more savage side of himself.
It's true, because there was that episode where he talks about going, I can imagine going to kill all those bodies, it weighs upon you that lot. So he must have, that weight must have been transferred somewhere else.
It's interesting, isn't it, how the mind, as you mentioned on there, Jenna, the way the mind deals with trauma, and the way that the mind almost compartmentalizes. Because like you said, we don't really deal with childhood trauma until we're a lot later in life. And it's, speaking personally, but I don't remember my birth, you know, and none of us, I think, remember our births. And it's like, there's reasons why, because it's really traumatic. And you know, it's these kind of things where your brain kind of like just slots things away, and it displays in different ways. And it's interesting that we're talking about a pop culture TV show by Marvel Studios with this kind of weighted depth of mental health and that side of things. It's a refreshing kind of ability to take that with this. You know, I don't think you could have done that with, like, I don't know,
Endgame.
Ghost Rider,
exactly. Exactly.
I don't know why you're shitting on Ghost Rider. I absolutely love Ghost Rider. Just you know,
that's because it's got Nicolas Cage in it.
Of course.
It all links back. You see.
I mean,
there you go. I was going to say, Harrow, the bad guy. What did you think of Ethan Hawke in this, guys? Did you like him?
I liked him. Yeah, I like his portrayal of Harrow. His storytelling of how he became Harrow was actually very, like, you did it well. You did a good job.
Yeah.
I liked him.
Ethan Hawke in general, I love in films. He always does a good job. He always delivers. I think, what film? Gothica? Jesus Christ.
Gothica, I think it's got, is that is with Halle Gothica? Berry?
Yeah, he's in it, right?
I'm not sure. Unless you're meaning Attica.
Shit. Is it Gattaca?
Gattaca, that's it. Yeah, Gattaca, that's the one. The one with Uma Thurman in it.
Yes, Gattaca. He was really good. I liked him in that. I think that was the first film of his I saw ever. And I was, you know, clearly had a little crush.
Smitten.
So yeah, I really, really liked him. Really, really, really liked him in this. And I don't think I've ever seen him kind of play a cult leader, I want to say. Like a...
Yeah, not that I can think of.
Like a washed down, you know, I haven't washed my hair in like 7 years kind of look going on there. So it was quite refreshing to kind of see him play something like that. So yeah, really.
Yeah, he was, yeah. What did you think of him, Zane?
Yeah, I thought he was cool. Yeah, he gives a great performance. I think, like, for me, it kind of falls apart again in the last episode with him, because he's kind of like running halfway down a pyramid in like a weird CGI fight. That I was kind of like, wow, that's something. But yeah, overall, I thought he was cool. Like, he gave a great performance, great delivery with what he had.
Yeah,
I'm starting to think, right? So I'm like, this is where it gets different. This was much more of a cerebral Marvel show. Like, it was more of a thinker. Like, you have to kind of like delve into it, peel the onion, if you will. And I know you, Zane, and I know for a fact that you just wanted people hitting each other, and you wanted big crash bang wallops. That's what you wanted, wasn't it? You wanted to see that big Godzilla fight with Khonshu at the end of it, where they're both giants fighting Amit. You wanted that in every episode, didn't you? That's basically what you wanted.
The man knows me. Yes, that's exactly what I wanted. I honestly was expecting Moon Knight to be, you know, a watered down Daredevil. I wanted to see people getting beaten up, batons flying around, and all sorts. And it wasn't that. It was the Stephen Grant Doctor Who extravaganza with Egyptian gods. Like,
oh, Zane. It's pure dispute for you, actually, isn't it? This is like,
see why it borderline for me. I liked it enough, like, it didn't win me over. And the worst part is, and you guys will appreciate this as anime watchers, when he pinned him down with the staff, I'm fighting with my mic here. When he pinned him down with the staff, and you know, in anime, the hero finds their resolve, like when everything's going to chaos around them, you see Khonshu getting stabbed in the chest as well, and you're like, oh no, how's he gonna fight out of this? And you think he's gonna think of, you know, a time or his resolve, what keeps him fighting. And what happens, his eyes roll back of his head and he wakes up with the staff in Harrow's head, and you're like, come on, Zane.
You have no love of subtlety, my friend.
I wanted to see him push back. Like, I wanted to see him, like, you know, this was the Superman spinning around the world. This was him. This was the Man of Steel against the world.
I can picture this on Reddit right now. I was watching the episode and then his eyes rolled back, and I don't understand why. Am I an asshole for wanting more?
Yeah, I feel like I understand where Zane is coming from, because, like, someone who has, like, seen Berserk or, like, you know, proper gore and, like, fight scenes and, like, excitement, and you know that Moon Knight is kind of like that. Like, he fights dirty, he fights, you know, rough. So you're looking for that excitement. You're, like, just waiting for it to happen, and it never really does.
It doesn't have to be a bloodbath, because I know this is Disney and stuff, but I'm just thinking, like, if you think to the classic shonens, like your My Hero Academias, and when Deku's in a corner, you know, and he screams and he reconnects with all the previous and he pushes back and he delivers the most powerful punch he's ever experienced, but it breaks his arm. That's what I was looking for. I thought, oh, this is it. This is where Moon Knight's and, like,
they basically action cock blocked us, Zane. That's what they did. Right. Absolute cock blocking by Marvel.
I'm just gonna say right now, Zane, we need to timestamp this with, we need a t-shirt printed. Undisputed Nerds, this is where Moon Knight's.
This is exactly what it needs to be.
We need to do that with that image, just like a view, like from our in that outfit, just like, he's Moon Knighting. I have minimal involvement with Undisputed Anime, so I have no comment. So moving on, just the last couple of things then to kind of round this off. So obviously that there's a couple of new heroes then. They got Moon Knight and they got Scarlet Scarab. Moving forward, do you guys see them making the transition over from TV into film? Would you like to see Moon Knight in film, either as a solo piece or part of an ensemble? Discuss.
I don't know about a solo. I don't know. I don't think we're going to see a solo film. But I do think it will probably be a pair in one of those. I'm getting like Ant-Man vibes for some weird reason.
Yeah, like crossover.
Yeah, like a crossover kind of thing, like a Civil War-esque film where he's going to appear.
Interesting that you said that. Mm. So I'm assuming have you guys seen Loki?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so you know, did you spot the Easter egg about the wider MCU villain who is lurking in the background at the moment?
The Conqueror.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So, so for those of you who are not familiar with Kang, he's a master of time. He has many variants of himself or many stages across time. One of his variants was He Who Remains, who appears at the end of Loki. There was a big old Easter egg in this, in one of the episodes when they go into the, basically to find Amit's tomb. One of the Egyptian gods, or one of the Egyptian pharaohs, I should say, was Ramatut.
Alexander the Great.
It was Alexander the Great. It was. Okay. But there was a statue in there of Ramatut, who was the ancient Egyptian identity of Kang the Conqueror.
Oh,
I see.
So okay. It had all the lines on the face looking like Kang, and yeah, it was So basically he get like, there's a time period where he goes back in time and rules over Egypt as the pharaoh, and
I did see that in one of the episodes I watched today.
Yeah, cool.
They also like, was one about him, like one of the Egyptian god being like the Black Panther originally, and then he got split away from them.
Yes.
I was like, oh, there might be a crossover between Black Panther and Moonlight.
They mentioned the ancestral plane in
there was actual reference about, like, one of the books that Stephen was reading did actually mention Wakanda specifically itself. I was like,
yes. Ooh. And the guardian of the, I can't remember what her name was, the hippo god. she mentions how beautiful the ancestral plane is, which is where all the dead Black Panthers go, basically. So there was a load of like little subtle crossovers into the wider MCU as a whole. I don't know whether, Zane, do you reckon we'll see Ramatut in Fantastic Four?
Ooh,
obviously they're the ones who famously stop him in the books.
It's very true. Potentially.
Fantastic Four. Here's where it gets into dangerous spoiler territory. Have you seen Doctor Strange?
No.
Okay, then I will not comment on anything else.
I will watch it, but I don't really care for spoilers, so go ahead.
Zane, we
know the movie's confirmed. We know John Watts isn't directing it anymore, who directed the previous Spider-Man movie. So Fantastic Four, I think it could be a wild ride.
I think it's going to be great. I'm really excited for it.
I can't tell if that's sarcasm or if you're actually excited.
God, that's terrifying when my genuine opinions come through as sarcasm. Oh, God. My poor partner, okay, I really love you. I really do. I am genuinely super excited for the Fantastic Four.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. More so after
I've
watching Doctor Strange.
I've just seen the gym of it all. That's literally all I'm seeing. I'm seeing Jim in costume. And I'm excited. Sorry, from The Office, the guy playing Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, John Krasinski.
Oh, I just fucked it.
No, that's who Jim in The Office is.
Right? Okay, good. Okay. Yeah. Oh, phew. Okay,
I mean, he's been fan casted a lot as Mr. There's like fan really? Art and stuff.
He's
front runner.
Housewife's favorite. He's the top choice for Mr. Fantastic.
Bookie's favorite.
Bookie's favorite, yeah. Yeah, no, they want him as Mr. Fantastic and Emily Blunt as Sue Storm as Mrs.
Interesting. That would be nice because I mean they are husband and wife, and they were really good in The Quiet Place as well. So
yeah. Quiet Place is a good movie, man. Yeah, there's a theory that they're going to get cast, and then they're going to cast two unknowns or roughly unknowns for Human Torch and The Thing.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Are we going to see? What's his name? Chris Evans.
Chris Evans. That'd be hilarious.
Right, I think it would be as well. I think he deserves a cameo.
I don't see it happening, but I would.
That sucks. He was my favorite. In the first one.
What, you didn't absolutely like him? So you didn't like him as Big Man Tits Captain America? What are you talking about? Come on.
I mean, obviously, I did. All right,
it's exciting. I think that it would be interesting that you say that, because obviously they've announced when you were talking about Moon Knight crossing over with Ant-Man, obviously the next Ant-Man is coming up, Quantumania, and Kang has been confirmed to be in that. The actor Jonathan Majors is in Quantumania.
Awesome.
So maybe Moon Knight might show up in that as well. I don't know, but I still think they're going to get all time trippy with the MCU now, and we're not going to know which bits are where and when and when, because I have no idea when this series took place. Do you, Zane? I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I think they purposely detached it so it wasn't easily placed. But I think there was rumors that I did hear something like it may be set after the Eternals or something along those lines.
The movie.
Yeah.
God, I hated the Eternals. Ooh. God, I hated that film.
Why?
I just couldn't deal with it. It was just too. It was too long. It was way too long, and it just the story itself. I couldn't. There's a suspension of disbelief, right? Where it's like you have to be able to suspend disbelief to a point to be able to say, okay, yeah, this is a superhero world. This is like, okay, fine. But when you get a situation where a hand the size of, like, you know, half the earth comes out through the ocean at the end, and it's fully out, like, that would kind of mess up the planet. There's no coming back from that. It's coming out of the core of the earth. I over-nerded, didn't I, Zane? I over-nerded.
You raged a little bit. I mean, my Moon Knight was quite tame compared to that.
Yeah, I went full Moon
Knight. He's erupting.
Yeah, I went full Moon Knighting. That's what it.
You went full Jake there. That's full Jake. The problem.
I did. I snapped. I went Lockley. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. Yeah, Eternals annoyed me a little bit.
Wow.
In case it wasn't clear.
Not that deeply.
Neither did I.
I'm like, oh, that's something.
It's just there, like in the ocean. And everyone's like, yeah, all right, there's now a big head and hand coming out of the sea. Cool.
What? It's made of marble now. Look at it.
Yeah, it's made of marble, exactly. Yeah, that wouldn't weigh down the earth or anything. Don't worry about it.
I was literally waiting for them to be like, and then that became their headquarters.
Oh, God. That's why they were too. I'm like, is that what they're going to dwell now? Because their fortress has been destroyed.
Oh, goodness.
And then Harry Styles turned up and saved us all. Well, he's Eros as well. Eros is a bit like, I'm going to go too far into this, but Eros is a big deal in the Marvel comics. And like,
it's, and then
like,
they just made him Harry Styles.
Anyway, it is what it is. Great. The Eternals was great.
Hey, what's your gripe with Harry Styles?
No, I've got nothing. I got no gripe against Harry Styles. Huh? I just think he was not the best casting in the world. Like,
to be honest, for Eros, he was not. They could have had someone else.
Exactly. Anyway.
But we haven't really seen Harry act properly, apart from his little thing, stint in Dunkirk. That's the film that's coming out. My Darling, yeah. The one, the scandalous one. Where he took someone else's wife. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. I'm excited to actually watch that one to see if he can actually act. And then I look forward to whenever he pops up in the MCU.
Can I just say, obviously, yeah, he did take that. But what happened to Olivia Wilde was brutal on stage. Like, that was like, oh my God.
Literally got served on stage. That was... The savagery was awesome.
Yeah, that was Yeah, some intense savagery going on.
Don't worry, darling, is what it's called.
That's it. That's what, don't that's worry, what the darling. Harry
does. Yeah. My dress up, darling, on the other hand, is something different.
Zane, what are you looking at? Close your browser history, for God's sake, man. Anyway, should we round it up, guys?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So, what did you guys think of Moon Knight? Did you enjoy it? Was it the best series ever? Or was it a big pile of Moon Knighting? Let us know. We normally do a round the room of how you guys can, or how, not you guys in particular, but how the listeners can get in touch with us. Would you like to do that this time? Do a round robin?
Sorry, who's that to me?
Yes, or... you, Shannon. Sorry, I'm going by the. Sorry, I'm going by the images on the window in front of me. I'm kind of doing it in a circle. I'm sorry.
So to find me specifically on the show.
Both.
Oh, okay. I'm at Uchenna Ubas. So UCHENNAUBAS. Literally everywhere. I'm not very creative, so it's just my name. And you can find the show at literally the CU show everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all that stuff.
Zane.
I am Zane _ Tai Cho. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter. You can't find me on Facebook, I don't think. No. That's a lie. I do have a Facebook page, but I don't post on it that often. So yeah, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and of course you can find me on YouTube as well.
Go for it. Go on.
So I'm Cherway. You can find me on my writing page, Rosie Aphrodite, and obviously the CU show, because, you know, that's who I am.
See, look at that. Professional way of doing it. Genius. I'm on Instagram at GentlemanlyGamer. I'm also on Twitch, twitch.tv/GentlemanlyGamer, where I'm doing a load of bollocks and talking crap. So yeah, come check me out on there. You can get in touch. Well, guys, this is the first ever crossover show that we've done. It's been really fun. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
All right, guys. Take care. We'll see you next week. Bye.